Daily Devotional Reading from the Treasury of Daily Prayer, the second Sunday of Easter. The psalm is Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 24. And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbors. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you." The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. The writing for today is by Martin Luther from his writing on War Against the Turk. Christ would not receive me at the last judgment if, when summoned to the spiritual office to preach and care for souls, I had left it and busied myself with fighting and with the temporal sword. Why should Christ or his people have anything to do with the sword and going to war and kill men's bodies, when he declared that he has come to save the world, not to kill people? His work is to deal with the gospel and to redeem men from sin and death by his Spirit, to help them from this world to everlasting life. According to John chapter 6, he fled and would not let himself be made king before Pilate. He confessed, "My kingship is not of this world." And in the garden, he bade Peter to put up his sword and said, "All who take the sword will perish by the sword." I say this not because I would teach that worldly rulers ought not be Christians, or that a Christian cannot bear the sword and serve God in temporal government. Would to God they were all Christians, or that no one could be a prince unless he were a Christian. Things would be better than they are now, and the Turk would not be so powerful. But what I want to do is to keep a distinction between the callings and offices, so that everyone can see to what God has called him and fulfill the duties of his office faithfully and sincerely in service to God. Our hymn verse for the day is from hymn 418, "O Lord, throughout these 40 days," stanza 2. "You strove with Satan and you won. Your faithfulness endured. Lend us your nerve, your skill, and trust in God's eternal word." The reading from our confessions is from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, paragraphs 35 through 41. In addition to Christ's and St. Paul's expressions, the bread and the supper is the body of Christ, or the communion of the body of Christ, the following forms are also used: under the bread, with the bread, in the bread. With these words, the papistic transubstantiation may be rejected, and the sacramental union of the bread's unchanged essence and Christ's body may be shown. In the same way, the expression, "the Word became flesh," is repeated and explained by the equivalent expressions, "the Word dwelt among us." Likewise, in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Likewise, God was with him. Likewise, in Christ God was, and the like. These show that the divine essence is not changed into the human nature, but the two natures, unchanged, are personally united. Many eminent ancient teachers, such as Justin, Cyprian, Augustine, Leo, Gelasius, Chrysostom, and others, use this comparison about the words of Christ's treatment: "This is my body." Just as in Christ two distinct unchanged natures are inseparably united, so in the Holy Supper the two substances, the natural bread and Christ's true natural body, are present together here on earth in the appointed administration of the sacrament. This union of Christ's body and blood with the bread and the wine is not a personal union, as that of the two natures in Christ. But Dr. Luther and our theologians, in the frequently mentioned Articles of Agreement in the year 1536 and in other places, call it a sacramental union. By this, they wish to show that although they use these distinct modes of speech, in the bread, under the bread, with the bread, yet they have received Christ's words properly. They read and have understood the proposition that the words of Christ's testament, "This is my body," are not a figurative, allegorical expression or comment, but are a unique expression. Justin says, "This we receive not as common bread and common drink. We receive them as Jesus Christ, our Savior, who through the Word of God became flesh. For the sake of our salvation, he also had flesh and blood. So we believe that the food blessed by him through the Word and prayer is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ." Likewise, Dr. Luther said, also in his large catechism, especially in the last confession about the Lord's Supper, with great seriousness and zeal, defends the very form of expression that Christ used at the First Supper. Dr. Luther is to be regarded as the chief teacher of the churches that confess the Augsburg Confession. His entire doctrine, in sum and substance, is embraced in the articles of the frequently mentioned Augsburg Confession, which was presented to Emperor Charles V. Therefore, the proper meaning and sense of the oft-mentioned Augsburg Confession can and should be derived from no other source more properly and correctly than from the doctrinal and polemical writings of Dr. Luther. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.